Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state, Queensland, its capital, Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years' experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
Well, my backyard is a winter wonderland. It is snowing like you would not believe. But as we go backwards, as I would go backwards, westbound, over across the Pacific, it's looking pretty nice in Australia today. It's looking very nice in Vanuatu today. And we're going to go to another place, a place we haven't ventured to before. It's called Mount Maunganui, and that is located in New Zealand. Good day, good night, good afternoon, good evening, good morning for that matter. Welcome to another edition of Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, right here in the Overseas Radio Network, where Richard is getting himself prepared. His view of the roundup of Australia is coming up. He's also going to talk a little bit about New Zealand. And in fact, most of our show today will be based on New Zealand, and we're going to be talking to someone from Ray White Real Estate in New Zealand, one of the principals. His name is Greg Purcell, and quite the story dealing with where he lives, probably a little bit different than what you're thinking when you think about the northern part of New Zealand. When you think north, don't think winter necessarily. It's all coming your way on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. Well, welcome to the program today. I'm making sure that I pronounce Maunganui correctly, Mount Maunganui. We're going to be going over there. We're going to talk to Greg Purcell in just a bit on the program today. You can find out about education and the lifestyle of that part of New Zealand. And I'll tell you what, looking at a map, looking at some pictures that Richard has sent over to me, this place looks pretty spicy. And I'm not talking about spicy food when I say that. And who's going over to a place like Mount Maunganui? You'd be surprised. Americans and other folk. I'm just going to say it like that. Americans and other folk. But before we go east for Richard, west for Brian, why don't we bring in at this particular time Richard Butler, who wants to do the Australia roundup. And Richard, how does the roundup fit into going over to New Zealand?
Well, that's a great question, and good morning, Brian. And I'm so sorry to hear that you're snowbound in the States, and I hope everybody over there has been going through this experience okay. It's been well publicized down here in Australia. We've been seeing all the mayor on TV and the state guys talking about the possible problems that can arise in a snowstorm. We don't have those problems in Australia.
Go any further. Why does that happen? We don't find out, unless there's something really terrible, terrible going on, we don't find out what's going on in Australia. We don't find out what's going on in New Zealand. We don't find out what's going on in Hong Kong. But, you know, snowstorms happen all the time. This is a big one. They happen all the time. Why is that news on your TV?
Well, I suppose we live in this world that's defined by groups and by, Europeans, Asians. And down here in Australia, New Zealand, we're basically a European country, very multinational now, but we have very strong links to America and strong links to the UK and Europe. So we're interested in what's happening in the rest of the world because, you know, there's only, like Australia, there's only 24 million people, 25 million people. New Zealand, there's only 3 million, maybe 3.5 million. We export a lot of New Zealanders out of the country. Who are involved around the world, basically, in all sorts of businesses. And the same thing in Australia as well. And so we have this interest in what's happening in the Northern Hemisphere. But, hey, what's happening in the Southern Hemisphere? What a big year last year. The auction rounds hasn't started again here in Sydney or in Australia. But I've got some amazing facts which have come through for last year, which I want to share with the listeners. I normally do the auction roundup, what happened, what the clearance rate, what the average rates. Well, look, last year in Australia, the five, and remembering, Brian, we've been telling people for a year and a half, now was the time, then was the time. And to buy a house in Sydney or buy a house in Australia because they're going to go up. Well, listen to this. The fifth fastest growing suburb in Australia was in Melbourne, and it was South Melbourne, and the median price is now $1,180,000. It went up 31% last year. Number four, New South Wales, a suburb called Hurstville, not far from where I live, and that went up 31%. To average price $1,170,000. Number three was Burwood, New South Wales, went up to 35%. It went up to $1,650,000. The second was a place called Ryde in New South Wales, Sydney. They're Burwood, Hurstville, Burwood, and Ryde are all parts of Sydney town. That went up 35% as well. And that's to $1,180,000. But where were we last week, Brian? We were up in Darwin. We often said a year ago we should go to Darwin and do a show. We eventually got there. The number one suburb in the whole of Australia is a place called Bellamec in Northern Territory. And we spoke to the Ray White guy up there last week. It went up. Are you ready for this, Brian? I hope you're sitting down. It went up 102% in a 12-month period. 102%. It went up from a price of $313,000 or $310,000. It escalated to $626,000 in a 12-month period of time. If you had bought a house there for rent, you would have doubled your money in the last 12 months. And this is actually, a trend that's right the way throughout all these towns that we've been talking about. Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, all these towns are increasing in value.
Well, let me ask
you. My dog barking in the background. Sorry, guys.
Richard, let me ask you. So you turn around and you buy a property in Australia, and you've seen a great return on that investment. I'm going to throw in, you're going to talk about New Zealand. Can you turn around and take some of that money from Australia and reinvest in real estate, either for your own living or for investment in a place like New Zealand?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same pattern. You sell your property here in Australia. The Australian dollar is stronger than the New Zealand dollar. I don't know what the exchange rate is. I know the exchange rate for the Australian dollar this morning was 79 cents against the American dollar. So you'd normally see that the New Zealand dollar would be something like around about 70 cents, maybe 72, 73. I don't know. I should have checked before I came onto the show today. Perfect. You can take your money here, go across to New Zealand, buy a property over there. Again, buy in a near area. And we're going to be talking to Mr. Purcell today, and from Ray White at Mount Maunganui, and he'll be able to give us some real bargains and some ideas. And, yeah, you can do exactly the same thing that you could do by taking your money out of Sydney and going buying into, Queensland, which is Queensland, Brisbane, in my pick, is going to boom in the next 12 months. I can see property values there in some areas increasing as high as 10 to 15%. I think the more expensive areas might do as much as 15%. The less expenses, I think, definitely will do 10% next year. So, you know, why would you not put money into real estate? Well, you know, I just heard the other day that Canadian Bank has reduced their interest rate down from 1% to 0.75% for mortgages. Why wouldn't you go, if you're in Canada listening to the show right now and you've got a house worth $500,000 or $600,000 or $1 million or whatever, why wouldn't you go to the bank and say, here, look, give me $300,000-$400,000. You pay the like an equity loan against your property. Your interest rate's got to be so low. You come and invest it in Australia and New Zealand and you're getting 8, 9, 10%. You're ahead 8% at least a year on your investment. Well, so there's all sorts of things you can do with real estate.
And you're doing it with the bank's money.
That's right, other people's money. Look, it's nice if you can pay cash, you know, if your father or your mother, which is a big thing at the moment. My family were talking about this morning. One of our relations passed away and the lady had two houses and she's left them to her children. And of course, straight away, bingo, they've got a house with absolutely no debt worth maybe $600,000-$800,000. So any bank would be more than willing to talk to them about using the equity in that property to go and buy an investment property in New Zealand or Australia or Vanuatu for that matter. So interesting times and unbelievable, 102%. That's got to be a record for a suburb to increase by that much. Maybe it might have been something to do with the Americans coming in, the new base coming in, all that uranium that he was talking about up there. I mean, there's many factors which would have brought that increase on. In fact, I will phone and have an answer for us by next week why it went up so much. We have to find out the reasons why on that suburb. So, look, we're off to talk to New Zealand now and to Greg and the Land of the Long White Cloud, Aotearoa is what the Maori name is for New Zealand. I'm looking forward to it, Brian.
I am too, and I hope that 102% isn't a typo. Because that would really be a shame. But yes, Greg Purcell joins us when we come back right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares. You could have invested in Google. You could have bought gold 3 years ago, but did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation, and now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. One cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit-outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood, a hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it. And we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-class licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 61417007792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61417007792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417007792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
Welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, right here on the Overseas Radio Network, where we're going to do a little traveling today. We're actually going to travel east across the Pacific, and we're going to end up at a place that I've always wondered why we haven't touched on it. We know that Richard Butler is actually a native of New Zealand, and so now we're actually going to do a program or a segment or two on New Zealand, on a particular part of New Zealand. It's an interesting name, and I'm going to let the folks talk about it because I know it, and I'm blanking on it, and rather than make the mistake right now, I'll let Richard Butler make that particular mistake. Our guest, by the way, is Greg Purcell. He is a principal, I believe, with Ray White Real Estate, the folks that we talk to all the time dealing with real estate in Australia. Well, yes, they are also located in New Zealand. Greg, good day. Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, good night. It's great to it's great to have you on the show. It's amazing what a time zone and a lot of snow can do to folks. You said good morning. Give us an idea right now what the weather is in your backyard.
Right now, as we speak, it's 10:45 in the morning, and it's a fairly typical New Zealand East Coast North Island day. You know, the temperature outside is about 25 degrees, a few clouds in the sky, Aotearoa, New Zealand, land of the long white cloud. We've always got some cloud, but there's plenty of blue sky.
Well, I hope so, because from what I understand, your place is a great swimming, snorkeling, diving, fishing, and also farming community.
It really is. We're actually quite a new town. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with New Zealand, but Auckland, the largest city in the top of the North Island, if you headed 2 hours or so southeast from there, you'd come into what is largely just what seems to be a long yellow beach that goes for hundreds of miles, and Papamoa, Mount Maunganui, a big part of that. About 100,000 to 120,000 people here. And the greater city is Tauranga, but people very much identify with one side of the bridge, which is Mount Maunganui, and further south of that, Papamoa, which is like a long, long sand strip. And it's one big sand dune, really, with a whole lot of development and infrastructure that's taken place in relatively recent times. And so it's a very go-ahead area.
How long have you lived in Mount Maunganui?
I've lived here since 1997. I was on the other side of the island, on the west coast, which is lovely, but it rains a lot more. And I remember walking along the beach, talking with my wife, going, you know, I think we could get used to this, and so we did.
Greg, it's Richard Butler here. Thanks for coming on the show. Even at such short notice, but Greg, you know, one of the reasons that I rang and decided to open up our New Zealand experience with Mount Maunganui is that I have a niece from Auckland originally, and I have my brother's children are still there and they're all grown up and they've got children now, and that the other day she put a posting on Facebook and it said, thanks Mount Maunganui for a lovely summer holiday, see you next year. I'll see you at the end of the year or something like that. And, it's an iconic area, Mount Maunganui. It's also a fabulous surfing area as well. And you must have seen some changes happen in It's affectionately called the Mount with everybody that goes there, and it's named after an extinct volcano that's right on the doorstep of the coastline there. And the Mount has been famous for decades, hasn't it, as the number one place for surfers to go, and for that, you know, amazing track at Christmas time and New Year's Eve. I mean, how many people come to town at New Year's Eve? You must have had, 20,000 or more people a year?
Unfortunately and unfortunately, it's become some sort of mecca for everyone under about 25. So you can imagine, if I'm honest, some of the mayhem and chaos that ensues around New Year's. I think most of the locals kind of head slightly out of town during that 24 hours. But you're right, it is a mecca, and the Mount, as we call it, is quite an icon and a beacon for people to come. We actually have about, I think the last count, there were 90 cruise boats came in over the summer period too. So we get a lot of North American, Australian, European visitors coming here, and everyone wants to go around the Mount and climb the Mount because it's right in town. It's literally just at the end of town. But it is a relatively new town compared to the rest of a lot of provincial towns and cities for New Zealand. And so a lot of people move here for the climate and the lifestyle. And then, so the infrastructure is playing catch up a little bit. We're now getting, like, you know, major roads built, a lot more schools built. You know, it's had to play catch up to the population boom. For example, Papamoa, I think, has grown something like 600% since the early 1980s. So it's been exponential to some degree.
When I was talking to Greg earlier on today, I said to him, you know, I have a rule of thumb. If I go to a town, there's two people I go and have a talk to if I want to find out what's happening. It's normally the taxi driver driving you from the airport to the hotel, and secondly is always the licensee of the local real estate companies, because they certainly know what's going on in the town. The taxi drivers, of course, have always got some great stories to tell you, as do the real estate people. You know, Greg, you must be seeing a change of population coming to the Mount with all these infrastructure and the cruise boats and people coming down. The income level of people coming to the Mount must be, you know, increasing all the time, where people are coming down buying their beach house or their retirement spot or relocating their business to Tauranga and the Mount. Would that be happening?
Yes, it is. And, you know, of course, the GFC, you know, always hits discretionary income. And, of course, you know, at the peak, I think, the most expensive piece of real estate, or your listeners may be interested, I think, sold in 2006, 2007, along the beachfront, I think it was around about $8 million New Zealand dollars, you know, wow, which is probably about $4.50 American. Not really, but that would have come back quite a reasonable amount, but then it's bounced back up again. Like, I can't speak with any certainty about macroeconomics, but certainly in New Zealand, you know, in 2011, 12, 13, things have picked back up again. And, you know, we are benefiting very much from the Auckland boom. And Auckland there's two economies in New Zealand. There's Auckland and there's everywhere else. You know, last year, Auckland house prices on average went up $90,000. And there's a lot of Asian flux into New Zealand and basically Auckland. And a lot of Aucklanders are sort of going, you know what, I'm going to realise our equity and we're going to buy a lifestyle. You know, we're going to sell our house, you know, make good money and head to somewhere where our average house price in, you know, Mount Papamoa is maybe, you know, $450,000. And we're gonna, you know, we're gonna come down here and buy a house and have a life and have some money, and so we're benefiting from that quite a lot. We have a lot of internal migration to this area because people just want to live here as well. But we also get quite a few people from the United Kingdom, South Africa, move here as well.
Well, I'm curious to finding out quite a bit more about the folks coming there. And what they are interested in doing, in particular starting businesses Also about schools, because the families are coming there, obviously they're going to want to know a little bit more about schools and the area in general. Greg Purcell is our guest. He is with Ray White Real Estate on the Mount, at the Mount, not in the Mount, but over there by the Mount. Yeah, stay out of there. It may not be active, but you don't want to light a match either. When we come back right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. We are continuing our conversation with Greg Purcell. He's with Ray White Real Estate, located in New Zealand. Hey, Greg, folks have been listening to you for a little while right now. How can they get a hold of you?
Oh, that's really easy, thanks to the electronic environment. Listen, they can either, just the simplest way, in all honesty, would probably be to Google my name, Greg, G-R-E-G, Purcell, P-U-R-C-E-L-L, and you know, I'm with Ray White, Mount Maunganui and Papamoa. I'll be a top 10 in that, I would like to think. And my phone number, if anyone's got a pen or just jotting down, is New Zealand, obviously, 027-273-0361. And I'd be delighted to hear from anyone or any questions about the area, anything whatsoever. Please feel free to get in touch.
Well, you just mentioned prior to going into the break, you have folks that are moving there from Australia and from South Africa, a lot of former British colonies and part of the Commonwealth, so to speak. I'm curious, why are they coming there, and what are they looking to do once they resettle?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's such a great question because I think what happens is this area kind of seduces people. So they move 10, 12,000 miles across the other side of the globe. They basically drive around New Zealand trying to find where they'd like to put down roots and where they feel connected. And I think they make the mistake of stopping here for a couple of days, like I did, and just experiencing the climate. The people are really friendly. It's close to a lot of places. It's still provincial, but it's got a cosmopolitan sort of upmarket feel because it's close to Auckland. You know, we see a lot of people coming in here. It feels busy and connected. And I think they go, you know what, if we're going to move this far, we want a lifestyle change, and this is the lifestyle I want. This is the lifestyle we like. And I think they put roots down here. And then I think, secondly, I think they go, oh, what are we going to do? So I think for people that are qualified, obviously that's not an issue, for, you know, doctors, you know, accountants, what have you. But a lot of people, I think, end up in the service industry or creating a job or creating a small business and starting that way. So we have quite a lot of small businesses that are doing quite well here in service industry. Our big employers are sort of the port here does very well, very successful port. You've got a hospital, and our industries around here are kiwifruit. It's very big around here. You may have heard of kiwifruit. And some dairy and agricultural sector as well. So there's a lot of different opportunity happening around here.
Well, in saying there's a lot of opportunity, I'm going to say it like this. What does the Mount need as far as people coming in? Do you have a lot of laptop lifestyle? What do you need? What could somebody bring in order to help the area grow sustainably?
You know, I don't know why I'm saying this on air, but one of the things I think New Zealand really needs is I think the service industry has a little way to go. From my experience of traveling overseas myself, I think something Americans especially do very, very well is in the service industry, how to treat people, how to make their clients feel like, you know, they're focusing on them. I think that's an area that we could learn so much about and from you guys. Australia's probably better than us as well. And that hurts saying that. You don't know what kind of deep pain that gave me. But that I think that people coming here, if they're into people and want to work around and with people, I think that's a real opportunity here, a real opportunity.
You've also got some interesting people moving there. You know, some famous footballers and leaders of political parties, and you've even got the drummer from AC/DC has resided and caused quite a stink already. Yeah. So I had to bring that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
thanks for that.
It's all right. But the people coming, of course, these types of people, business people and retirees relocated, they're always looking for entertainment, local entertainment, and as you've just said, training. So if you come to the Mount, what would be the cheapest and property that you would be happy to sell in the Mount or in Tauranga at the moment? What would be the scale? What would you get for what would be a couple of hundred thousand Australian? New Zealand would be your lowest price?
That would probably be right. And Papamoa, which is south of the Mount, they're really quite connected. You know, your entry level really now, and I'm talking really entry level sort of two-bedroom attached unit sort of thing, obviously not on the beach, would be, you know, about 250,000. You know, and you don't get a lot for that, but you get something. Like I said, the average house price at Papamoa is around $430,000, and at Mount Maunganui it's setting up towards around the $500,000. Obviously, the land value is more expensive at the Mount. It's older than Papamoa. It has some high density in it as well, so that's where the apartments really are. The apartment market downtown. The Mount, obviously, that was hit hard, like a lot of apartment markets, I suspect, around the world, with the GFC. That's sort of coming back a bit now, too. So, entry level, top end, you know, like I said, once upon a time, there were some pretty fairy tale prices. Now, there's stuff still going around, 3, 4, 5 mil. But obviously, that's slower than it used to be, but coming back all the time as New Zealand's economy is actually pretty good in comparison, I think, to what I've heard around the traps. So, there's we've got a lifting shortage at the moment, which is forcing pressure on house prices. We've seen lifts in the last year, 18 months, because we've got Auckland people coming down still from other parts of New Zealand. And you know, one of the biggest differences with this GFC, and this is the third sort of financial crisis I've seen in real estate, we never saw a lot come to the market. And I think it's part of the problem. The buyers are there. We just need the right property for them.
Greg, one of my fortes is basically a history of being a property developer since 1980 and doing land subdivisions. And buying farms and then sort of subdividing them up and into either small farmlets or residential lots. Is there much opportunity for new subdivisions? And is the council friendly towards developers to come down and do new subdivisions on the back end of the city environment in the Mountain Tauranga?
Yeah, listen, they are because they've had to be. And especially Papamoa, which is the expanding part of the Mount, if you like. It's just further south. There have been numerous subdivisions, numerous, and it's just heading south and east. And the forecast growth is quite massive there. So the council are very much so and welcome that sort of thinking and that sort of approach because we need the houses and we want the people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what a lot of people don't realise, and some do, some don't, but the problem that all councils have at the moment is that they've got to supply these services to their ratepayers, and the ratepayers demand the services, and the cost of supplying those services, you know, have basically increased dramatically. So when we come back after the break, maybe we could talk a little bit about the prices for land and a little bit more about the lifestyle of living in grieving in the land down under Tāruarua, land a long white cloud that has the best football team in the world. I think we should talk about the All Blacks. Yeah. That's very important. Yeah. We must talk about the All Blacks.
That's our next.
So we'll come back in a short while and talk about the sporting lifestyle of New Zealand. I think you're going to get a real surprise, Brian, when you hear about how successful our team has been. Anyway, we'll be right back soon after we sell a little bit of product, I think.
Australian Wine Exports Limited was first registered in 1974, current export license number 99, and has access to all of Australia's famous growing vineyards, as examples from the world-famous Barossa, South Australia, the Hunter Valley of New South Wales, the Margaret River of Western Australia, and the Yarra Valley of the southern state of Victoria, and lastly, the magic of the Burnett in northern Queensland. Places you might never heard of, but you might have seen the Australian labels in your neighborhood stores, like Yellowtail. And we must tell you the current release of Australia's Penfolds Grange sells up to $600 a bottle. Australian Wine Exports Limited has decided to expand to the States, and the directors are looking for interested investors for a joint venture in exporting Australian wine into the USA, United Kingdom, and lastly, China. The wine regions in each of these Australian states produce different wine varieties and styles that take advantage of the particular terroir, such as climatic differences, topography, and soil types, with the major varieties being predominantly Shiraz, Cabernet, Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Merlot, Semillon, Pinot Noir, Riesling, and Sauvignon Blanc. The company has been waiting for the Australian dollar to retreat in parity to the American dollar, as they now see the opportunity to advertise for interested investors and start exporting containers to selected countries. This is a boutique company that can avail themselves of assistance from the Australian export arm, Austrade, as well, but wishes on the ground interested investors in the States. So call Richard Butler on 61-417-007792. That's country code 61, then 417-007-792, or email him for information at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. This is another amazing offer from Down Under worth considering. As Richard says, decision makers are profit takers. Where does he get these remarkable offers from?
So I bet you are wondering what it is like to sit out there by the mountains, listen to this conversation, knowing that it's a beautiful sunny day, balmy, especially if you are sitting in New England inside watching the snow come down and the temperature is really, really below zero. Well, I'll tell you what, Greg Purcell is looking east from the mount at the Pacific Ocean. Don't know what he sees besides maybe a sailboat or two, a motorized boat, some people having a good time, maybe some folks surfing. Are you beginning to realize that this guy lives in paradise, or paradise number two, because Richard has us already believing that paradise number one is in Australia, East Coast? That stated, let's forward here. Greg, we talked about the folks that are coming over there, what they can do as far as a type of business. If we can, let's get into some lifestyle, real lifestyle issues. In your area, what are the primary schools like? And are there, after you cover that, are there any colleges in your backyard?
Sure. And when you say colleges, I'm wondering if you mean American colleges, which is universities, so I'm assuming that.
Universities, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we do. We actually have, the schooling here is really good, to be honest. It's like primary, you know, which is up to about 10 years old. There are lots of schools. And in Papamoa, they've just built a new high school, which is, from about years 12 to 17 when you leave secondary school. That's just been built over in Tauranga itself, which is the more sort of larger side, older side, and sort of non-beach part of where we are. There are numerous big high schools and intermediates and primary schools. We don't have a dedicated we're not a dedicated university town yet because we're quite new, but a lot of the existing universities around New Zealand, a couple of them have outposts here, you know, so you can do, you know, stuff with Massey University or Waikato University because they've got representation here. But we don't have a massive campus of our own at this stage. It'd be great to have one, I have to say.
Would that be something difficult to start?
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of people who come down from the States, Brian, to Australia and New Zealand who are educators. A friend of mine has just arrived from Canada, and he's down at Canberra, for about 6 months doing some work down there as well with the education department. So, you know, if you've got the expertise, I think the doors will open up pretty quickly for you. May take a little bit of applications, but, you know, these days with the net, you can apply for a job in Australia or New Zealand just as easily as you can apply for a job in the state next door to you in America. So, those opportunities are certainly there. And this, you know, if you search Mount Maunganui on the internet or Tauranga or the, you know, Bay of Plenty, you'll find, you know, loads and loads of information on there. But, you know, my advice is give Greg a call if you're interested in real estate. Have a chat to him. He'll send you some emails with, you know, good properties that you can get a bit of a hand around, get your head around and understand what your pricing is going to be. And then, you know, if you want to come and build a house, so here's another thing I want to ask you, Greg, what's the cost of one of those land subdivision lots, or as we call them in New Zealand, blocks, sections, they call.
Yeah, sure.
They call vacant land sections over there. What would be the cost of, say, what, are they 800 square metre lots? Or what's the size?
Anything, you know, on average between 500 square metres and up to probably 700 to 750 square metres. And depending on where it is exactly in, say, Papamoa, they might vary sections anything from, you know, 180,000 to 300,000, depending on where it is. And that's in a subdivision. Obviously, where they've got the usual sort of covenants where you're expected to build, you know, at least, say, for example, a 175 square metre home, which would be, you know, predominantly brick and tile, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, I'm assuming that happens offshore as well. So people know when they build and buy in a certain subdivision, there's going to be a standard there that's going to be adhered to for protection of investment of the purchaser, obviously. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on at the moment. It's interesting that you brought it up before because, you know, there's a lot of building companies here now and, you know, the way building has been revolutionized a little bit around here. You know, back in the day where you'd get a builder and you'd be on the phone every day wondering maybe where they were or where the subcontractor's going to turn up and do the plumbing. And, you know, it's really turned into a service industry there now too, where we've got people going, you know what, you sign this contract on this day, we're going to give you your key and it'll be all done. And, you know, for New Zealand, which is a little bit, you know, wild colonial, that was a real revolution in the last few years. People used to sort of battle their builders and time frames and what have you now. So that's really changed too. So we're really coming of age here, I think.
What would be the cost of as you mentioned, a three-bedroom, 175-metre house, what would that sort of roughly cost factor on top of your block of land? You've got your block of land between 200 and 300. What is going to cost you locally to build a house like that? Have you got an idea?
Yeah, well, if you bought it directly off the building, you'd be paying, you know, on average, I think you'd be paying sort of $440, $450 sort of thing for that sort of thing. Obviously, it's a variable depending on what you want, but, you know, maybe very entry level, you might get away around the $400,000.
So how much would the house actually be? Just the build?
That's everything. If you had the piece of land, the cost of per metre building, that's probably at least $1,500 per square metre, you know. So if I'm hesitating, it's because there's a lot of different providers, you know, offering a lot of different things. The entry level is when they do it all for you. When you start trying to do it yourself, obviously the cost tends to go up. So, yeah, I would say your entry level is in that mid-fours all up. If you start doing it yourself, it all prices out.
Not many people have the expertise to do it themselves anymore. That's what's happened. We all sort of, a lot of the buyers of real estate now expect the whole thing to be done for them. They want to pay for the lawn to be put down, the landscaping in, the pool in, the fencing up. And they want the light on when they walk in the front door as well. So
yeah.
You've got it. That's basically what the market is these days, is supplying a complete unit, with all the bells and whistles that required heating. Is there much requirement for heating in the houses down there?
Well, that's a good question, because, I think a lot of the rest of the world, probably in North America and Australia, have had the idea of double glazing forever and a day. It's like someone brought it here a few years ago and everyone went, oh, that's quite a good idea. Because we're a high rainfall, as you'd know, Richard, we're a high rainfall environment, high sunshine, high rainfall. Our average temperatures are pretty good. Winter gets a bit chilly. Usually just gas now. People are going for gas. Right. And decent insulation, and that it's on the East Coast here. That pretty much does it,
Right.
Question: well, say it gets a little chilly there. What is chilly? What is chilly?
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? It's a relative question. But when it gets down to around 12, 15 degrees around here, people start looking sideways. That's Celsius, of course. Different to Australia again. I was talking to a cousin of mine who'd been working in the temperatures up in the late 30s. Though that blew my mind. It's a very humid heat here. I would add though, different to Australia. Hey Richard, very humid.
I will take 12 degrees anytime. Greg, I want to.
Yeah.
Right now 12 degrees feels comfortable because I can translate what it really means into Fahrenheit. Greg, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on the program. Greg Purcell joining us from Australia, the Mount. He's taking a look over the Pacific right now. Richard Butler in Sydney. I also want to thank David Gregerson, producing our program in Alabama, USA. I'm Brian in the snow. Adios, amigo, from Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome is a greeting that is genuinely offered to all who visit the Republic of Vanuatu. Vanuatu, an undiscovered secret, has now opened to the world via the web portal Escape Artist, a highly successful international association. And we offer you the opportunity to work, live, play, invest, and retire to this Y-shaped chain of 83 islands lying 2,500 kilometers northeast of Sydney, Australia. Escape Artist Vanuatu was launched in late 2014, and our nation is now firmly established as a destination for relocation and tourism from all parts of the globe. Vanuatu is now a member of the preeminent World Trade Organization since January 2012. Vanuatu has strong existing links from expatriates from all over the world, such as Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom, the Americas, USA, and Canada, plus European nations like France, Germany, and now in the last decade, from Asian countries like China, Japan, Korea, and Vietnam. Permanent residency is available to you who wish to relocate via property purchase, to approved applicants, of course. Vanuatu is promoted as one of the happiest places in the world, voted twice in the last decade by independent international experts. The ecotourism paradise has now entered the high-tech world with the recent arrival of the high-speed South Pacific communication cable, bringing 4G. And now, Vanuatu Nation is only 49 milliseconds from the financial markets of New York, UK, Singapore, or Shanghai. Vanuatu is also a tax-friendly nation with no personal or corporate taxation, no death duties, and no land tax. Vanuatu is a clean and green nation whose future is assured as an emerging nation, with a commitment to maintain and promote the introduction of the four pillars of the modern environment world, which are clean industries, ecotourism, organic agriculture, and sustainable fishing and forestry. We welcome you to discover our beautiful pearl of the South Pacific. To come and discover Vanuatu for relocation, retirement, and escape, to follow our international escape artist mantra and enrich your life. It's never too late. So we invite you to consider and come to our island nation of Vanuatu to live, work, play, and invest.